Thanks, Phil. Nice to be back. Nice to see you again. One of my favourite biographies is this one. It's about a lady called Anne Judson, who was an American lady who, together with her husband, Adoniram, back in 1813, set sail for Burma, modern-day Myanmar, to serve the people there with the message about Jesus. It's a great read. The slight spoiler alert is that there is a happy ending, and we'll come onto that towards the end. But their first few years in Burma were just incredibly hard. She writes of years of toil and labour. All is darkness, Sheila says. There is not a glimmer of light. And despite their hard work, best efforts, 6 years... 6 years of just no response, no interest, nothing happening. Can you imagine that? Slogging your guts out 6 years, absolutely nothing to show for it. Add to that, worse was to come with the coming of the Anglo-Burmese War, an increased suspicion of foreigners and internationals, until eventually 1824, her husband Adoniram, he's dragged from their home, put in prison, 17 months of torture, broken health, and mosquitoes on his bloody feet driving him mad. And you read that, and maybe you only get halfway in the book, and let's face it, God's kingdom, it doesn't look massively impressive. Jesus, if you're really the king, why does evil and suffering and corruption prevail? And why on earth is the kingdom growing so slowly? If you're a Christian person, perhaps you read halfway through Anne Judson, you think, well, time to get out, time to invest elsewhere. And if you're looking in on Christian things this lunchtime, you know, why would you ever sign up to be part of this kingdom? And yet, Jesus is going to say to us this lunchtime that things are not always as they seem. Welcome back to Matthew 13. So three talks in these eight parables of the kingdom. And if you just look down at the little handouts that you've got on your sheet there, you'll see something, hopefully, of just the big picture of the chapter. It works in cycles of three, I'm going to suggest. Same pattern every time. There is a parable or a group of parables that is spoken in public to the crowds. We thought about that last week. And then for each group of parables, there is a little private explanation to the disciples as to why Jesus speaks in parables, together with an explanation of the particular parable itself. And I guess I'm suggesting that process, that cycle, repeats itself three times. Last week, we looked at the first group, parable of the sower. This week, the second group of parables. And here comes the first thing, the problem of the delay. The problem of the delay. So here's a field, and in verse 24, it says that the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his fields. So we're told later, aren't we, that the field represents the world, not the church. That's important. The sower represents Jesus, the Son of Man. And the good seed, we're told, represents the people of the kingdom. But then verse 25, little 25, while his men were sleeping, his enemy, that's the evil one, came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And that raises the obvious question, I think, doesn't it? Little 27 there. It's hopefully the question we're all asking. Boss, what is going on here? Didn't you sow good seed in your fields? Well, how come there are all of these weeds? Jesus, I thought you were in charge. I thought you were the boss. How come then I switch on my TV screens and there is so much evil and suffering in the world? How come Jesus, Adoniram Judson, has to spend 17 months in prison? Why are the Romans still in charge? And so you can imagine, can't you, this parable coming as a bit of a big bucket of cold water to Jesus' disciples? You know, understandably, they're quite excited. let's kick out the Romans, let's do some weeding, let's have some kingdom power. And Jesus says, actually, it's not going to be like that. And the heart of it, if you look down with me, is little 28 and 29. Because the servants ask the farmer, do you want us to pull up the weeds? You know, which sounds like a complete no-brainer question, doesn't it? You know, surely we want an end to evil. Surely we want a nice, pure kingdom in the here and now. But the big, I guess, splash comes there in verse 29, when the answer comes back no. And the reason he gives, and I guess this is the really important bit this lunchtime, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. So here's the heart of it all, here's the big thing, that Jesus deliberately ordains a delay in the coming of the full arrival of his kingdom. And he allows this period where evil, he says, will be present right alongside the growth of the kingdom. So people often ask, you know, quite understandably, if there is a God, why is there so much evil and suffering in our world? Why doesn't he deal with it? And it's an understandable question. We have to empathise an awful lot with a question like that. And the Bible, of course, gives lots of answers to that question. But the very simple response here is that Jesus always said there would be a delay. And he always said that there would be a side-by-side existence. And he always said that there would be weeds growing alongside wheat. So I remember a member of our church family recently got a pretty awful diagnosis from the doctor. I went to see him and I just said to him, you know, are you ever tempted to ask the question, why me? You know, when we're going through it like that, it's a question I think we're often tempted to ask. And he just said something to me very striking. He said, the question I'm asking is not why me, but why not me? Because I guess once you take Jesus's words seriously about the nature of a delay and that there will be weeds in our world, well then perhaps the question comes, why not me? And I remember just being quite struck by that conversation. We want to see the kingdom triumph in the here and now. We want to see the kingdom sweep away everything before it. And Jesus says, well, that will happen. But before that, there's going to be a delay and there's going to be a side-by-side existence. And you think to yourself, well, why? What could possibly be so important to warrant a delay? And what could possibly be more important than the full arrival of Jesus' kingdom? And if you're a Christian person here this lunchtime, the answer is you. Just have a look at verse 29 again. No, don't uproot the weeds, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat, that is the people of God, along with them. And although admittedly, I think this is, you could argue, I think that this is the one part of the parable that actually is left slightly unexplained, isn't it, a bit later on. At the same time, here is a really big Bible truth. That God in his kindness allows this delay. Why? Well, for the sake of his people. So I guess let me get you to imagine that God has a big red stop button in heaven and he can press that button at any time. All sickness, all evil, all disease, all oppression. He can press that button at any time, or he can allow one more day for the kingdom to grow. And the question is, would you or I love the world enough not to press that button? And I don't think I would, but God does. And that is why it's still growing season. And that is why the door is still open. And I guess I, for one, really glad about that. I became Christian around 2000, 2001. That's when it became real to me. That's when, I guess, in Jesus' language, I went from being a weed to a wheat. And so, yeah, I, for one, just really glad the big uprooting, the big red button wasn't pressed before that, and I guess we could go around the room and there'd be other people who would say the same. Now is the time to come into the family. And now is the time to take advantage of the delay. Now is the time to receive the offer. Because just looking down, verse 40, one day it will be just quite different. And ultimately, verse 40, this is where the division ends up. And so here are the words of the most compassionate and loving man who ever lived, and we have to imagine him saying these words with a tear in his eye. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear. It is one of the great paradoxes of our time, isn't it? That on the one hand, we long for God to press the red button and we cry out to him to stop all the evil and injustice, at the same time as saying, I could never believe in the God of judgment. I could never believe in the God of verse 42. Which leaves us with a choice, doesn't it? Because do you want a God without judgment and a God who does nothing, in which case you've just got to accept all the evil and suffering in our world and please don't ask the how long, O Lord, question? Or do you want a world without suffering and oppression, in which case you've got to have a God of judgment? You can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it, except, of course, as we come to the cross, we can. Because the way to go from being a weed to a wheat is actually to admit that I am part of the problem. I fire some of the bullets as well. But now I see that on the cross, Jesus was burned for me. He was excluded for me. And when I take advantage of the delay like that, well, the cross becomes the full package because it's a way out of judgment. Jesus takes verse 42 for me. And it's a way out of suffering because Jesus promises this perfect world where the righteous, can you see, those who have received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus will shine like the sun. And that's why Christians are so excited about the cross. And it's what makes verse 43 just, isn't it a great verse, verse 43, particularly as the nights draw in and we move towards the winter. Think back to the summer holiday. You know, kicking back on the sun lounge with the vitamin D, does it feel good? And Jesus says, the righteous, those who've received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So in contrast to the present hiddenness of the kingdom, the delay, one day it will be really obvious, one day, impossible to miss. So there's the first thing, the problem of the delay. And do you get the point? I guess what we're arguing here is that evil and suffering is not a sign of failure on God's part, but